Staggering muties were only 15 paces away, lurching like drunken customers leaving a gaudy house at midnight. Ryan noticed that their wounds, appalling though they were, didn't seem to be bleeding as much as they should be.
All right, let's do this again.
He raked the four bodies repeatedly, using 30 rounds to make sure they wouldn't rise a second time. Blood spurted and chunks of flesh splattered into the air, with gouts of crimson carrying splinters of bone. After the racket of the guns, the silence was intense. The bodies lay still, torn apart by the ferocity of the shooting. Doc Tanner moved ahead and stared down at the mutilated corpses. He squatted down, oblivious of the blood soaking around his cracked boots.
How could they? Such wounds! And they rose and walked.
If there's more of them, they'll be on top of us any time now.
Where to, Ryan?
Away. Must be more where that smoke was. I don't want to face more if they're that bastard tough to put the stopper on.
Sure. Back to the swamp wag, or into the brush?
Doc stood up, his hands slobbered with dripping blood from probing at the carcasses of the muties.
Amazing. My dear Mr. Corder, it is truly amazing.
What?
These poor creatures, genetically mutated as a result of the neutron bombing, have developed a dual circulatory system. Two hearts, two sets of lungs, two sets of arteries. That is why they are difficult to slay.
Zombies. By Gaia. They really are the living dead.
No shit. You don't believe that stuff, do you? They're muties. Just muties. All muties are different, Christy, but they're still muties, right?
The moment his words were out, he wished he could suck them back and swallow them. The girl glared at him for a long-held moment.
I know about muties, Ryan. So do you.
Hey, I'm sorry.
I get it. I know why. Doesn't make it right.
Shh! I hear him.
Now they all heard it. It sounded like an awful lot of swampies were heading their way. Finnegan hastily reloaded his blaster.
Let's move!
Ryan turned away from the water and ran unhesitatingly into the heavy undergrowth alongside the track. The others followed suit. What ensued was a desperate chase, lasting all morning and well into late afternoon. At one point, there was another torrential downpour. They didn't dare stop for shelter. The muties just kept coming after them. Ryan, Christy, JB, and Finn were able to keep going with no great strain. Battle-honed and fit, they could have run for a day. Lori, despite the handicap of her high-heeled boots, did well enough. But for Doc Tanner, it was a torturous pursuit. At first, they more than held their own, ducking and weaving along paths that danced and twisted like a breakback rattler. Ryan led the way, his steel panga drawn, slashing the branches that blocked their progress. Every few minutes, he'd hold up his right hand for a brief rest, while all of them fought to control their breathing so they could listen for the sound of the muties. The banshee wail seemed closer for the first couple of stops, then it faded away until it was no louder than the humming of bees. But by the fifth check, Doc was in a perilous state, dropping to hands and knees, his chest heaving, sweat dripping from beneath the high hat.
I beg you, gentlemen and ladies, to go on and leave me behind. I have my trusty cannon, my Lamar percussion pistol. I assure you that I shall give a good accounting of myself, and I shall take some of the monsters with me.
Save around for yourself, Doc.
No, Finn. You just keep on this path with the women. I insist.
Shut that fucking mouth, Doc, or I'll bust it. This isn't some old-fashioned fucking game of heroics. If you were gut-shot, I'd be the first one to leave you. But you aren't. JB and me will stop and slow him some.
Usual on the paths?
Yeah. Straight when there's no doubt. Any choice, take alternate right and left. Dagger slash in the nearest bush or tree.
Finn nodded and began to move, while Ryan and JB readied an ambush for the swampies who were following. Lori helped Doc up on his feet, but still he hesitated.
Come on, Doc. No fear.
The old man came close to a smile. It trembled uncertainly on the edge of the white lips.
You say to have no fear, my plump companion. My own words to myself 100 times a day.
Come on, Doc. My Uncle Tyus McCann used to quote something about being of good cheer and playing the man.
I know the saying, lady, but the man who said it died moments later. It was a singular...
Get the fuck out of here!
The four of them melted into the undergrowth. JB leaned against a tall sycamore, his gun a comfortable extension of his right hand. He and Ryan waited, as they had waited in a dozen different places and times, for the enemy to come to them. It worked. They didn't need a signal. In such thick cover, it was difficult to count the enemy. And with Amuti's talent for recovering from mortal wounds, Ryan wasn't about to go and check them out. But at least 8 went down, hit hard, and the others fled splashing into the bayous. It was necessary to try the same trick again around 4 in the afternoon. Doc had passed out. Normally, if they'd been out from Warwag 1, there'd have been a medic among them with drugs. But out there in what had once been called Louisiana, they had nothing.
His breathing's really shallow, and his heart is racing like a pump engine.
Everybody take 5. Rest. Me and JB will go do it to him again.
The Swampies had learned their lesson and were approaching more cautiously. But 4 or 5 of them went down under the combined fire of the armorer's mini-Uzi and Ryan's caseless G-12. Ryan and JB then caught up to the others, who had moved out again as soon as Doc had come to.
I regret that I truly can no longer even walk, let alone...
Forget it, Doc. We'll hold up here. Either those zombie bastards leave us be, or we stand and fight them. No other way.
The ground had been getting wetter and wetter, until at every step their boots sank inches deep into slimy muck. The sky had cleared, and now had only a scattering of light orange clouds, floating high and untroubled, intermittently visible through breaks in the green curtain that was draped overhead. While they waited, Christie stood a little apart from the others, her head to one side, listening hard. The long red hair rolled over her shoulders, bright in the half-light. Ryan came and stood by her, putting a hand on her wrist. She smiled at him.
I'm sorry about the crack about muties.
It's fine, lover. I know how it is.
Ryan kissed her gently on the cheek, tasting the faintest hint of gasoline from the dirt and mud.
You hear them, lover?
No. They backed off at the last firefight, but I can hear... No, maybe I'm mistaken.
What?
I heard a dog barking. Then it sounded like a pig snuffling. Not far ahead, but the wind's against me for good hearing. I thought I heard a woman's voice singing. Maybe another swampy village ahead of us.
They'd been running more or less blindly, picking anything that looked remotely like a trail, even narrow animal tracks. Now they were in a small clearing with some exceptionally tall elms covered with the white Spanish moss surrounding it, so that they resembled a mute assortment of frozen brides draped in stained wedding lace. Ryan hesitated. If they turned back for the swamp wag, they might encounter the muties. They couldn't go right or left, either. The deep waters of the salt swamps had been closing on them on both sides. That left only straight ahead, where Christy Roth had heard sounds of active life. The sound of a gas engine came to them from behind. It sounded exactly like the noise of a buggy's engine.
Swampies?
It didn't seem likely that anyone from a community as brutish as the Dirties who'd attacked them could drive a swamp wag. But whoever it was, there was a better than even chance that they weren't going to be friendly. Anywhere in Deathlands, the odds were never better than even. Ryan pointed ahead.
Let's move on.
Several of them, not just Christy, heard the dog bark again. And, drawing closer, they also heard the sounds of a small, rural vill. Ryan advanced cautiously forward, and the others followed in single file, moving from quivering tussock to mud thick as molasses. Suddenly, a figure seemed to spring from the very swamp itself. A skinny white man in a red shirt and white cotton breeches.